back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive today has been a very Baltimore Positive day. Clouds outside, sunshine here. You know, Don, when I dressed myself today, I came in, looked at my wife, and I put this on. I said, what do you think? She said, you look like you're going to El Guapo. It sounds there like go. There's going to be mariachi music in the background. And there is. We do the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play for being our guest today. Damien O'Doherty is getting Betty Boop tickets, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery. And we like to do this in the middle of the afternoon, so a little more quiet, hanging out. This has been like a friggin' party. I'm already one deep into some silver hair in Durham. I've been drinking with Rob Roblin on the job and crying with Jane Miller. And now I get to...
Hey, we did get... How about that? I mean, two of my all-time favorite people, as you know, Jane Miller and Rob Roblin.
You saved the best for El Guapo.
But El Guapo. I would not have predicted that both of them would tell stories that would move them to tears. I mean, we had two of the legendary reporters in Baltimore.
That never cry on the air.
That never cry. Both of them told stories that brought them to tears.
I'm Barbara
today.
Walters. That's what I was looking to do. You know, that's what I wanted to do. Damien O'Doherty is here, our friend from KO and from Colorado to Catonsville and back again. And dude, you're here,
Music
you're
City,
there,
Maryland.
You're everywhere. And today you bring me a gift because you know of my affinity. And this guy probably doesn't know me from Boo, even though I've been going to Meriwether since 1980. By the way,
uh-oh.
You ready for my first Meriwether memory?
I am ready for
who
it.
Who is it that we're talking to?
Go ahead and introduce him. Let me do the show.
Show.
The show's more fun without Mola.
But I just
when I've been drinking.
I was so flattered to hear Martin Knott's kind comments about all the great things that were going on out in Howard County. And so I just wanted to come clean that while success has many parents, you know, the most seminal work we've had in Columbia is really about this guy here, Ian Kennedy. He not only invented and was the savior of Save Meriwether many, many moons ago.
Well, then I really owe him two drinks
you
with this guy.
See,
then now your story will make sense.
And here's
it's
what,
like Kenny Loggins.
But here,
it's
so unlike the politics that I'm so used to seeing because he's really a promise made and a promise kept. He went out there and fought and saved Meriwether as a community activist. Then when he was in government, worked to solidify its future, then ultimately became the CEO of the nonprofit organization that the developer Howard Hughes deeded the property to. So he literally got the keys to Meriwether, and he holds them on behalf of all the people of Howard County and Maryland. And his name is Ian Kennedy. He's a great guitar player and mountain biker, too.
Oh, my
You're
goodness.
An okay
But you weren't
oh
the
goodness.
Second baseman for the
He's
Angels.
An okay dad.
Just making sure, man.
Quite the resume. So now, regale
okay.
Mr. Kennedy with your
First
Meriwether.
First time I ever went to Meriwether Post, and you can go look this up, was the summer of 1984. And I saw one of my all-time favorite bands. And I've gotten on this kick. I love music so much. And I've sold off a lot of my autograph stuff because I was a music critic back in the 80s.
Yep.
You know, Gene Parker let me. I've known Gene forever. Amanda Payton, Amanda Julian Johnson, who's my Facebook friend, still sends me old Meriwether stuff. But in 1984, I got my first ticket ever, Ticketron, with my dear friend Ron Zukowski. We camped out all night for tickets at the Heck Company for this band. And we went and saw this band, and they didn't play a whole lot more, and they've been gone for a long, long time. And I had a Led Zeppelin belt buckle back in 1979, and I really didn't wear it, but I loved it. And my wife got me a belt 4 years ago and got me a Rush belt buckle that's of the era. And I've gotten to collecting these Pacifica belt buckles. They were made in the 1970s. They sold them at KB store for $9. Price of an album. I only own one. I own Led Zeppelin. My wife got me Rush. And about 3 weeks ago, I got a wild hair after getting rid of all my rock and roll stuff. Robbie's got all my sports stuff. Bob, I don't collect anything anymore except memories and love, right? Right? I went on the internet. This is my first purchase. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to show it
uh-oh
to you. There
okay
it is.
Now.
Oh,
the
nice.
Cars.
Look
the
at this. Man. That is a Cars Panorama 1978 belt buckle.
Wow.
And Ron Zukowski, who was the keyboard player in my band.
Not sure I've ever been that close to a buckle.
This is a serious Cars. There's a hologram on there, dude. That's saying shake me up is what that's saying. So I saw the Cars in 1984, and I went to this wood structure in the hills. I'm a kid from Dundalk. It wasn't on the bus line, so I couldn't get there. And I fell in love with it. 2 years later, I became a music critic at the Evening Sun. And for 86 to 92, I spent five nights a week,
wow,
4 months a year. I have all the ticket stubs, all the little yellow Merriweather ticket stubs from back in the day. And I don't – he'll talk about Memorial Stadium or Camden Yards or even the football team, which is what I've done professionally for 30 years. I would say some of my best memories of my life are Merriweather Post Pavilion. So I love that place. I love everything that's been done to it. And I cried when I walked in there. The front. I saw that roof. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like I died and came back. They saved it. Because it was gone for a little while, right? It was close to being I was going to have to drive to Manassas the rest of my life. And I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Merriweather has faced a few existential crises in its life, both almost 20 years ago when the owners at the time, the Rouse Company, who built and developed Columbia, decided that there was no longer room in Columbia for Merriweather Post Pavilion. They tried to shut it down. A buddy of mine and I started this grassroots campaign.
Was it called, not in his buddy's peeing in the fountain over at the Grateful Dead? Was that? I mean, it was.
You know, I have
it was
heard
corporate. It was corporate folks just not understanding where they were coming from.
That's exactly it. And then again in 2018 when we were halfway through this massive $60 million renovation that we just finished. And it was the night of January 13th, 2018.
I remember this.
Strong gust of wind came, so we were raising that old roof. And
Frank Gehry roof.
Yeah, the Frank Gehry roof, and one of the supports just failed, and the whole thing came down. And, you mentioned Jean Parker earlier. She has been general manager at Merriweather since the 80s. She's been working there since the 70s.
Do you know Jean Parker?
I do not.
She will be the coolest human being.
You should bring her on.
Jean's got a... Like
she's got stories.
Here,
oh my gosh, she's got stories that nobody else has. But she texted me. I got a text from her. I woke up that morning, January 13th, looked at my phone, and I got a text from Jean that just said, "Just FYI, the roof collapsed." And talk about understatement of the century. Like, just FYI, the roof collapsed. And I jumped in my car. I drove to the venue, and even before I got there, I could see from Broken Land Parkway in Columbia just that massive roof on the ground, and it was a sight I will never forget. But Merriweather, we got that roof in time. We opened for the season that year on May 4th. No, and then in 2020, the next existential crisis we go through for the first time in more than 50 years, we had a season without concerts. We had a summer without concerts.
What did I tell everybody for the 6 months of that? I said when the plague were 2 years this week. The plague.
Yep.
I said when I'm at Merriweather having a beer, the plague will be over.
Yep.
So, I mean, I felt that way that summer. But when you start putting concerts on again, I had to get outside. Yeah. So I have to get outside now. Foo Fighters.
Go back.
Tesla.
Right. Go back.
M3.
Oh.
M3,
what
yeah.
date you want? You want Rod Stewart and Cheap Trick? I'm trying to get the Cheap Trick belt buckle. I can't afford it.
That's the problem. He knows it. This is why he doesn't brag about Merriweather, because he learned over the many years, if you brag about the success of Merriweather, then everybody asks you for tickets, and you're
you don't the look most like a guy that has Merriweather tickets. So
I don't have Merriweather tickets. They are all spoken for.
They are hard.
Ian Kennedy's our guest. Don Moeller. Damien Adore. You haven't got a word in.
I want to go back to the beginning of the Save Merriweather when you heard they were trying. Because one of the things we always try to drill down on Baltimore Positive are these leadership qualities and the sense that brings people together. You know, we had Jane Miller on earlier. Jane talked about the power of community in making a difference. And she talked about that last night in her acceptance speech of her big award. So you and your buddy are somewhere. Tell us what you're doing at the time. And you all look at each other and say, well, damn, they can't knock Merriweather down. How does that then become a cause and a passion?
Sure. Well, I was in graduate school at the time. I was studying at the University of Maryland in the School of Public Policy. I was actually interning that summer with who is now a state senator, but then was a county council person, Guy Gazzoni.
Sure.
And I had recently spent a couple years as a local newspaper reporter in Mount Airy for the Gazette newspapers, which are unfortunately no longer.
All the best people worked in news, man.
So I say this, and I believe it to be true.
Yeah, that's all the questions.
Two years as a newspaper reporter was essentially like a graduate degree program in community in community, right? In how do communities deal with problems and challenges? How do they organize to solve these problems? And how do they come together, you know, around the things that they care about? And so here I am, this kind of young, idealistic public policy student. I've been playing music my whole life, so... for me, Meriwether, it was not just a concert venue.
What was your first concert?
First concert at Meriwether was the Earth Day concert in 1990.
Okay.
10,000 Maniacs.
So I got a story for you. I'm the music critic that night, okay? I'm with my boy Mike Sprada, and we were on a bender. I was 21, 22. There are parts of it I don't remember, but I was well ingrained, and I was off that night. And I remember walking backstage. This is like crazy. I remember walking backstage. Alan will appreciate this because he loves music. And I'm just wandering. Backstage at Meriwether, there's somebody over there smoking a J. Somebody over there is talking. Somebody's got a drink. There's roadies putting... There's all these bands. There were 100 bands there that night.
Huge.
Yep. And I turned the corner, and I swear to God, in the dim light, I saw Michael Stipe and Natalie Merchant making out.
Wow.
No kidding.
So I watched... and they were having a moment... They were, like, being intimate, and I, like, oh, boy, like, walked in a little bit. It wasn't anything, like, it wasn't sexual. It was they were making out, and they were having a moment. And I had my friend Mike from Buffalo who came. He remembers that night, like, and I had to Google whether they were an item. And about a year and a half ago, I Googled they were an item at that time. Because I had to make sure I remember it right. So I remember that night like it was yesterday.
The only thing I remember about that show, we sat on the lawn. My dad took me.
It was the first Earth Day ever.
Yeah, it was the first, exactly. It was a big thing. They did something in D.C. like the day after. And I just remember sitting there watching the couple next to me. They were drinking, just all day drinking. And they became more and more amorous with each other,
similar to Michael's.
Yeah, and here I am, a 12-year-old kid, and I'm like, what is it? And the guy's like picking up, and I was just like, this is what happens on the lawn.
I want to come to Meriwether more often.
Exactly.
Well, you always say,
what did I tell you about those Buffett nights?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, just knowing, having grown up in Columbia.
So you were younger then?
I was younger. I was in my early 20s, and I like a lot of Howard County kids, I graduated at Meriwether, and when I graduated there, got to sing and play guitar on stage for the graduation. So, and then
everybody graduates there, right?
Almost every high school in Howard County graduates there.
Why did I get Dundalk Community College?
I mean, you know,
because it was next door.
I should have gone to Hammond High School.
That's where I went.
I never would have met Moeller.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned Buffett. And many of us will be back there again this summer. But one of my Meriwether memories is the night they oversold the Buffett concert. I don't know.
Which one? 86, 87, 88, 89?
No, it was more recent than that. And it was, you know, my wife's tiny. She's 5 feet, 100 pounds, soaking wet. And we're in the midst of the... And we have tickets in the pavilion. I can tell you why that is, why we aren't on the lawn anymore. But the crowd begins to, once they open the gate, just to go... And I literally thought she was going to be trampled. Right. I thought, this is it. This is really great. I'm going to lose my wife to a bunch of parrot heads. It's over, you know? So we get to the point, and I got up to where you enter the pavilion. And I wanted to walk down. One of the ushers said, sir, you can't come in this one. You've got to go down. I said, I rarely do this. I said, pal, let me explain this to you. You don't have enough security in this place to keep me from walking down this aisle. And he probably thought I was a madman, and he just stepped aside because I thought...
He thought you got to the parking lot
early that day. We're not going anyplace else. So that was... The reason we no longer sit on the lawn... We were there for Tim McGraw and Kenny Chesney. And forget rain. I don't even know what you describe it. Like a torrential monsoon.
I had a John Mayer like that.
Oh, yeah. My. Yeah. We literally were so muddy and so wet. Our home was over in front of the community college at that time. Luckily, we had a screened-in porch. Since we got home, it was late, it was dark, nobody could see our screened-in porch. We literally could not go into the house. We took all of our clothes off on the screened-in porch and walked in naked. And since that time, I thought, God bless the lawn is for the young, and I'm going
this
in the
pavilion. This is not as good as Elliot Easton giving me his pick the night of the Cars concert.
Tell him
this
about,
is not as good a story.
Tell him about the family content. Well, you know, I don't want to give people all the wrong idea, but it wasn't a big part of this whole Merriweather exchange is that you guys are going to do some really cool stuff and have none.
I mean, honestly, part of what I love about my job and my ability. So I don't put on the concerts, right? We have IMP Productions, the folks who own the 930
we'll
Club
get Seth
in D.C.
to come over.
Yeah, exactly. They put on the big shows. We're, in that sense, we're just kind of the landlord. But then we also have this opportunity as a nonprofit owner to bring in, to create new experiences for people at the venue. So we do things like movie nights and community programming there. Because for me, it's really important for me to create opportunities for people to see Merriweather the way I've been able to see it.
It's not just at a Foo Fighters concert.
Exactly. Right. It is that. It can be this amazing place where you can
Red
have these
Rocks
amazing...
Red Rocks has added a whole new dimension. They do yoga at Red
Rocks.
They do all sorts of community events and say it's not just a place to come and be at concerts. And
it's a place that you can come at any stage in your life, and we should have something
Damien,
for you.
Damien, tell them how close I came to living in Columbia. I mean, like, seriously, Christmas time we sold our place, like... It was
very close.
Yeah, I thought a couple of summers down there would really fill my soul. And I mean that.
I mean, I can say that I live in Columbia. I'm a bit of a Columbia homer. I love the fact that, you know, I can be walking my dogs. And I live on the other side of Route 29 from Merriweather, but I can be walking my dogs and I can hear the crowd or I can hear the music. You know, I say... with all sincerity that, I mean, Merriweather is like, it's the heartbeat of Columbia.
Is it still called Symphony Woods?
It is still called Symphony Woods surrounding Merriweather. Yep. And, you know, and that's I mean, to me, Symphony Woods and Merriweather are this sort of this perfect symbiotic little area where...
Well, I'll drink to that, man.
Where,
I'll tell
you
know, that right now.
I mean, what I love about Cheers. Symphony Woods is this is something that you walk through... you walk through this beautiful wooded landscape, and then you come into Merriweather, and it's all this sort of transformational process of leaving behind the traffic and the parking and the job and the bills and all the crap that is daily life. And then you come and you have this chance to, whether it's for Foo Fighters or Fish or a movie night, or we have a film with the BSO that we're going to do there this summer. You come and you get to just leave all that behind for 2-3 hours, and you get to connect with your community, with everyone around you. You
it's
know,
like a no judgment zone.
No judgment zone. Come
it's
as
a
you
rare
are.
Place.
Come
you know?
As you
well,
are, it's, and you will be accepted as you are.
It's such a success story. When you must be so proud. When you look back and you think about it, what was it that came together that allowed you to be successful?
And how close was it to dying? Because it definitely felt like...
I mean, they
it
were...
It felt like everybody had quit on it.
Yeah, they were... the Rouse Company, the famous quote, we said this was our bulletin board quote, me and my buddy Justin Carlson, who started that campaign. The Rouse Company said, trying to make Merriweather profitable is like selling ice cubes to Eskimos. And they said that in 2003 when they announced that they were going to close it down. And it was because of... You know, it wasn't being managed right. It wasn't getting the investments that it needed to get.
But there was no extra strategy involved. There was a concert, come, go, whatever. Probably not neighborly. Probably the noise. I mean, I would always wonder,
But you're not
a... The trick is that in order to... If it's too loud there, the trick is that if you want to have all of those improvements that occurred at Merriweather, then the person that wants those improvements, like a concert promoter, they're going to want to guarantee that they're there for 30 years so they can amateurize the sky lawns and the stage improvements.
That's the way the bookkeeping's
roof.
Done, yeah. Literally, right?
Yeah, and when Rouse was there, they were never willing to do more than a 2 or 3 or 5 year lease with Seth.
With the operator.
With IMP, yeah. With the operator. So it always left, or I guess, yeah, with the operator. So it always left that in limbo. And then once...
And people are coming down and parking in an empty field, right?
Yep.
Like, literally, in, out. They weren't going to Cafe Americain the way I was back in 1988.
Yep.
Or utilizing the mall in some positive way. Taking up parking in the mall, guilty. I mean, like, I'm in the 90s.
We've all done that.
Like... Now I go down there, and I do feel like things have happened around it. And I know Damien, and I know how much effort's been put into this.
Yeah.
But it's very apparent. I mean, I ran into Don down there last summer at a James Taylor. It's a place we talk so much with Rob Roblin and Jane Miller about people saying, I don't want to go to Baltimore. I ain't gonna, you know, I don't, we're fighting that. No one says, I don't want to go to Meriwether. Like, literally, and now that the parking's better, yeah, and it's, you're on, like, cement, and there's, like, things. We go down early now, and we hit a restaurant, we get some food, we make a night of it, because I did the crab cake tour down
there.
Very
classy.
Damien, how do you do the transition? I want to, you took us to the, you said what wouldn't
work.
We
had a natural asset. Yeah. How do you make it
work? How did you make the transition to being able to save it?
I mean, so for us, very early on, we said, you know, I moved to Columbia when I was 15. Before that, I lived outside of Annapolis. I always knew of Columbia as the place that had a mall and Meriwether. And so our argument was, you can redevelop downtown Columbia and recognize that Meriwether is this tremendous asset.
Yeah.
You know, it would never get built
people
today.
People would spend tons of
exactly
dough to have a Meriwether.
And people,
what did they spend in Manassas to put the thing in the edge of nowhere?
What are they getting for the stadiums now? Well, 600.
Exactly. Well, and like, so we've seen the restaurants love us. I hear from the restaurant owners all the time, like, book more shows. Even the residents who they've built new housing around Meriwether, they move in knowing, oh, this is a, I mean, part of the marketing
is, I almost
is,
moved there to yeah experience it.
And part of the marketing is, you know, taking a concert from your balcony. And I just...
Or go for a walk in the woods with your wife and listen to a couple
exactly
songs.
Exactly, like, and we, it's right,
you know,
there. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to take it in, you're going to, you're not going to close your ears, shut your doors, and say, oh, my God, those kids are jumping in the fountain.
Yep.
Martin Knott's
yep
in the fountain over there at the Dead Show.
Yep.
You know,
well,
Ian Kennedy's here, Damon Daugherty's here, and Don's. You're good, Don. You got
no,
a million questions,
say,
man.
You've been so involved, Damien, you and your company, in what I'll call the new Columbia, and everything goes through a stage. What, bring people up to date, and you've worked closely with Howard Hughes Corporation and others. Talk about what's happening in Columbia today. I know there are new medical enterprises partnering out. There's all kinds of things happening.
Yeah, I think, you know, people wonder how Meriwether's been so successful, how Columbia's been so successful. A big piece of that, is the capital and the vision of Howard Hughes Corporation and Greg Fitchett, who's over there leading that organization. And without them really giving they give the brush of community back to the community, and they say, hey, show us what you want. What do you want here? What would be great here? And they give that brush to the community, and then they are given a long period of time to execute on that plan. So they're about one-fifth of the way through a 30-year plan, which you see in the Meriwether District. So that means Tenable, the top IPO of 2018 nationally, is headquartered there.
What is that?
Tenable is a major cybersecurity company.
I have to ask. I don't know what Tenable is. I've never heard of
yeah
Tenable.
And so you have all, and that is a cyber hub. So now you have all these cyber companies locating there.
It's so smart. It's between Baltimore, between Washington, 10 minutes from the airport.
Right, I mean, by NSA.
Yeah. Like, oh,
MedStar.
My gosh.
Yep. Yep. MedStar's there is their headquarters. Now, what is now happening is, like, people are just beginning to realize that Meriwether District is almost becoming a little city unto itself, with some great Baltimore positive restaurants like the Creamery and the Charmery. Yeah. And yeah, then what's Greg's favorite restaurant? Greg brought from Hamden, the Food Market.
Food Market, yeah.
First time I ever hung out with Greg Fitchett, I took him to Hamden to show him my Baltimore bona fides, and for Baltimore to take credit for everything that's happened in Columbia, right? Because we invented that place, right?
Right?
That's what I tell people. Like, everything we learned screwing up in Baltimore, we left that. We went to Columbia, planted these amazing
well
seeds.
Look at the son of Rouse here at Hamden.
That's
High
what
School
I'm telling.
Well, there's nothing more.
But it's an Columbia is successful because it was integrated from the beginning. So everybody feels like they can be a part of it. Meriwether is the exponential, like, visualization of that. It's kind of diversity and explosion of creativity. But now we're wrapping that with some great commercial activity. What you talked about, not only did Howard Hughes redevelop the old Rouse headquarters into a Whole Foods and a spa that's above that, But now you're going to have one of the really the state's top medical office facility right there on the lakefront. That means that
I was gonna say,
all the
water
best docs.
People don't realize there's water.
Waterfront. I'm talking. Ian and I are going to break some Columbia Association rules and get out there and paddleboard on the lakefront. This place is coming alive like a
My
city, and it's fun to watch.
There might be paddleboards.
Yeah. Well, I need somebody to break the rules with
warm,
me.
Yeah.
Can I get Foo Fighters tickets? I'm just making that up. Damien O'Doherty's here. Ian Kennedy. You know, I'll just say this for Meriwether, and I'm a concert guy, man. I travel the whole world. I'm sitting on a couple of Pearl Jam tickets in Oakland right now, nice. Waiting for the world to change and get normal. I flew to Raleigh last week to see the Eagles on Wednesday night quietly. I bussed the week before to New York to the Garden to see John Mayer, which I talked with Martin Knott about. So. And he's mad at me about baseball, and apparently, Alan, are they going to play? Alan says the strike's over, or the lockout. I don't say strike, whatever.
Give me Boogs and a beer. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today.
I'm gonna be down
in
the Sky Lawn while he's
I'm ready
Angelo
to play.
I mean, talking about sports, one of the things that I talk about with
play second base for the Angels. Back.
One of the things that I talk about, what I love about Meriwether is like you go to Camden Yards, you go to Raven Stadium, you go to a sports event, and there's a decent chance that you're going to leave unhappy, right?
Especially if you get an order.
Exactly. We've all felt that. There's a really 95% chance that you go to Meriwether, you're going to leave happy, and everyone has that. There's no competition.
I had a moment.
Right?
You have no idea how much I love music. Like, I'm showing you my car's belt buckle. I'm getting home today. My Bee Gees belt buckle is arriving today.
My
okay,
goodness.
And then tomorrow my Boston one. I've been buying these the last couple
Boston.
Days, finding little deals. When the plague happened, I wanted to come to Meriwether. When I think of things like this morning, Alanis Morissette announced a world tour, Europe and whatever. And she's not playing Meriwether because she played last year. And I kept thinking, like, it just came back to me how awesome she was. You know, like, I walked around. I remember where I was when every song was playing. And at the end, because we walked the facility. I get along. He'll tell you. He'll give me some Gucci ticket for the Foo Fight. I don't want to have Dave Grohl sweat spit on me. I want to walk around the wall and look at pretty girls. I want to get a beer, even though it's a little overpriced. I don't mind paying it. Tell Gene all the time. So a couple extra bucks. I remember when we had no plague. And that's when you say, you don't like those beers? You like driving to Manassas? You
that's
like
right.
Manassas?
I don't like it none.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy with all of it. But those memories, even last summer, this morning, hits me again on Alanis Morissette. And these belt buckles are coming in, and I'm going to tell you, I hope Rod lives long enough and my guys from Cheap Trick, because I love Cheap Trick, that I want to be wearing my Cheap Trick belt buckle that is in the Cosmos. It's too expensive for me to afford, but I want to get a Cheap Trick because I want to come down and see these bands again this summer, and there's nothing I look forward to more than getting in my car and going down there. I think it's the best venue to see a live show. I only say east of the Mississippi. It upsets him because of Red Rocks.
I mean,
Red Rocks is a place.
Red Rocks is...
If that's not your bucket list place to see a show, Meriwether, to me, is a place... I saw Michael Stipe and Natalie Merchant making out. It's a legendary place.
Does it get better than that?
You were there for Earth
I think it's Meriwether number one. This is Meriwether number one, and I think Red Rocks number two. I think Meriwether, there's something about the roof. Just as the stars are there, Red Rocks, there's something about that roof, the roof that brings us all together. And those new Skylons are just like out of control.
I watch Hall & Oates up on the Sky Lawn with my son.
It's a little easier to, like you said, if you treat it like a campus, it's a little easier to get around, I find, than the Red Rocks. I don't want to tear down Red Rocks, but
well, before we let Ian run, Ian, what talk to us about what in your current role? What are you involved in that's important to you out there in Columbia and Harrod County?
I mean, it's creating these experiences. And probably for me right now, the most exciting thing that I'm working on is we're doing an event at the end of April at Meriwether with the library system and the school system. It's this annual event they've done called Battle of the Books. And it's essentially a reading competition for fifth graders. All across Howard County, they assemble in teams in their school, teams of five, and they answer trivia questions about books. And the library's been doing this about 12, 13 years, and they used to do it in six separate high schools. And then the last 2 years, they've done it virtually. Actually, my older daughter was in fifth grade in 2020 and didn't get to do it at all because That was, you know, sure. 2 years ago, the world sure. shut down. So this is the first time now in 2 years that it'll be in person again. And it's the first time ever that all of the teams will get to compete together. So we're talking 1,500 kids, 1,500 fifth graders, probably 4,000, you know, parents and family members and a whole bunch of other people. So the venue is going to be jammed full of people. And it is going to be louder because you get a bunch of fifth graders together on a Friday night. You hop them up on candy and sodas, and they are just fired up. It is going to be the loudest event that we've had in Merriweather in years. And for me, I'm looking forward to that as much as I'm looking forward to the concert.
Celebrating literature.
Literature. Books. Fifth graders
packing
reading
Merriweather
books,
right? To celebrate literature.
And this is an event wow. that there's going to be some kid there who, I mean, hopefully a lot of them, who never forget that experience, right? Who always remember.
They'll think of it like the Cars concert.
Exactly. And right. and maybe then, you know, when
or
they're
like
16.
Like I think of the Nutcracker when I was at the Lyric. I always talk about the Lyric. When you're a kid, you.
Man, it's bigger than life. Exactly. It's bigger than life.
Not to get too Pollyanna as we wrap up. Somebody's going to come out of there and want to write a book and be an author and make a difference. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Well, and for me, creating these new and fun and dynamic experiences, hopefully, my hope is that there's another one of me behind there. There's right. somebody who, like me, I graduated from there and this venue became something more special to me. I want other people to have that because I'm not going to be here forever, and I want to see what great ideas other people can come up for this venue.
Sorry, let Ian and I have a music moment. Best show you ever saw at Merriweather?
Tom Petty and the Black Crowes 2005. The Black Crowes were horrible, but Tom Petty blew my mind.
Did you read the Black Crowes book?
I did not read
Steve
the Black
Gorman
Crowes.
Comes on the show. Buddy.
Steve Gorman, no kidding. Yeah. So I used to play with his nephew in a band, Sweet Lita. Local band.
All local, man. Yeah. Just Park right
yeah.
there, man.
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Jimmy Gorman was also a legend, the late, great Jimmy Gorman. We lost him. He played basketball at Morgan State, Steve's brother. But I love the Black Crowes, man. I saw them at the Super Bowl 4 weeks ago. I saw them play right before the game out. In the. I love Wiser Times, probably the greatest song ever written.
So yeah. I went to that show. That was at the peak of my Black Crowes fandom, and I was ready to be blown away.
You looked a little like Robinson, yeah.
You know, bit. I got a little. I saw them play at Bohagers back in like 98.
I'm a Black Crowes guy,
and it was leaking, and like the roof was leaking. It was a whole mess, but I was ready for them to blow me away, and I just. The vibe was off that night.
You got to read the book about why the vibe was
oh,
off.
Oh, I know. I mean, but then.
The book will blow your mind.
And I. So I.
They kicked Jimmy Page out of the.
I know. When they
did
that.
They're out of their mind.
They were crazy. But so.
Yeah,
so then,
that's why they made great music.
So I was. I liked Tom Petty before that show, but he came. The second he came on that stage, everyone there was enraptured by this guy, and he put on a show just like I have never seen a show quite like that. And to this day, I mean, I love lots of music. I love going to every concert that we have there, even if the music's not my cup of tea. But that show to me has lived on as, I mean, just Tom Petty, his magnetism.
Should I tell him I saw Petty in like 87?
I know.
Well, Merriweather.
Well, so my wife is like, I saw Tom Petty like 800 times in the 90s, and that was the one time I saw him. And I'm kicking myself for not having seen him more. But
dude, really nice to meet you.
It was great to meet you too.
Come back again.
Yeah,
right?
I would love to. And you know, when you're out there in Merriweather, I love doing the same thing. I love walking around.
I just walk.
I love taking in the scene, feeling the energy because
I don't need to be in any one specific place.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I'm close. Good. That's cool.
Yep.
And I've been as close as is. I mean, I was in the first row the first night at the Cars, row AAA in the pit, right?
Nice.
And I've sat everywhere in there. There's not a bad seat.
Yep.
And, but there is the rain. You have to, some of those nights.
That's when it's nice to have a pass.
From now on.
How about this? Some of it's magic, some of it's tragic, but I had a good life all the way.
There you go. I do love me a good guy.
Don Moeller joining us here from a Baltimore County executive. We're going to do bonus time. And when this segment began, they weren't going to play baseball, and I was going to poop on all of them. And Alan's sitting over here with a mask on, and is that an Oriole hat? What is that? This old school baby bird hat. Okay.
There we go.
And Alan's going to come over here, mask or unmask. I'm not sure. It's like Kiss. I mean, whatever it goes. By the way, I didn't buy the Kiss belt buckle. Everybody else got that. I don't want all that. Ian Kennedy from Merriweather Post, or should I say, what's your organization?
Downtown Columbia Arts and Culture Commission.
The people.
Bit of a mouthful.
The people own Merriweather.
He cultured the show up.
There you go.
And Damien, anything going on with you? How you doing?
We're doing great. We're excited to be here. We got John Avalon, the CNN anchor and Lincoln author.
Where?
Well,
I love John Avalon. Follow him on Twitter.
We're going to have him down at the Maryland Club for a book party for him. And then, you know, I was going to have a pod with him, but my good friend Martin Knott stole him right out from
under
his...
He's holy? I'm not.
He's definitely not holy. His first podcast guest he stole from me.
There you go.
So he's going to have John Avalon on. We tried to get him on here, but we found out we could get Ian, so we bumped him.
Hey, man, we've had a crazy... John, you're departing or you're going to stay with Alan for a little while?
I'm going to stay for a few minutes with Alan, and then I'm making my way.
Oh, Jesus.
He makes it sound like he's got a long walk.
You know what? I've had a beer. I have great guacamole waiting for me and chips. I'm going to have two of the Bleeding Heart baseball people of the Baltimore community come together and try to, like...
Put me in,
help
coach.
Me find Ripken Jesus.
I'm ready
is what I'm
to
gonna try
play
to do.
Amen. Today. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
No time left for shame. rise up, no more pain. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. If you know that song, then you know good music. We are BaltimorePositive.com.